I want to apologize for being a little late here and having things a little fouled up, but, you know, by the grace of God, we're going to manage to continue anyway. I've got Paul Muller here in South Carolina. We're doing this broadcast from a laptop that really isn't new enough to handle the kind of stuff we're trying to do through it, but we're going to limp through anyway, and praise God that we managed to get the microphone finally working. I actually have no clue what exactly that might have been all about, but for the time being, once I get Paul over here, we're going to be talking about, this afternoon, we're going to be talking about Colossians. We spoke with Paul last week about Colossians. We were in chapter 1, and we had done everything up to the end of chapter 1, and once we have Paul, we'll when we get him up, then we'll be talking about the second chapter of Colossians, just as a matter of review. Last week, the language in the first chapter of Colossians was what we were most excited about, and of particular interest is chapter 1, verse 23, "If ye continue in faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." The idea of if ye continue in the faith, you receive all of the good things that are promised here in Colossians. The fellowship with the Lord Jesus that is promised throughout the first chapter of Colossians. Did you get ready there, Paul, or?
Alright. I don't know what he wants.
Alright, well, Paul is talking to another member of the ministry, but as soon as he's able to join us, then we're gonna proceed with this, such as it is. Second chapter of Colossians. Okay. Meanwhile, I'm going to put this music on and let Paul get ready.
Everything turned, there is a season turned, and a time to every purpose.
Yeah.
is.
Praise the Lord. At least that song was worth listening to. I don't know that you've heard anything else in the last 15 minutes. That was! But we can only trust that the Lord Jesus will be gracious to us and that all of you out there will be just as gracious. I do have finally managed to assemble Paul Muller here in front of the microphone. And good afternoon there, Paul. I'm glad you could join me.
Yeah, it's been great.
It's all right, brother. We're going to be okay here. And I actually sought to introduce you some 5 minutes ago, but that's all right. I know that we had other business going on, and I think that we finally got that taken care of. We got a mic that looks like it might even be working, going out over the air. All right, and I know that last week we were in Colossians chapter 1, and I was hoping maybe once you got here that you could refresh us a little bit on chapter 1 before we move on to Colossians chapter 2.
To Colossians chapter 1, he opens up, Paul opens up with a testimony of his appointment to his ministry by God. He was by the will of God and not by the will of man. And the authority that he carries because God has appointed him to that position. The rest of the chapter is about what the gospel he's carrying, what the message it is, what it all means. It is about walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful with every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Which is the center of it. This idea of increasing in the knowledge of God and walking worthy. Alright? And that worthiness, of course, is through the sacrifice, the blood sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, not our own worthiness by any stretch of the imagination.
No. Nothing we can do to be worthy of his attention.
Amen.
We don't deserve it. And the part of the first chapter that just fires me up is the part where he goes through the from probably 13 on, where he says he's describing what Jesus has done. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, the Father has done through his Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And this person, this Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, invisible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things will be created by him and for him.
And that was something I know we spoke a lot of last week, the idea that this creation is not about you or about me or about any other particular individual other than Jesus. It's all here that it might be pleasing to and glorify him.
And back in Revelations chapter 4, at the end of it, the creatures are worshiping. They're saying, for him and by him were all things created for his good pleasure.
Amen.
And we were created to please him. And that's what we have to be about in the business of learning.
Right, and the truth of the matter is, sadly, we're too often about the business of pleasing ourselves, and that, at least in this ministry, we're after making an end to that kind of living, and getting down to the kind of living where we're seeking to please him, where that's where our heart is, not in seeking to please our own selves and be about our own business, but be about his business.
I would just be happy if the technology worked.
Amen. Once in a while, yeah. But I think we're all right now on that score. Everything looks like it's going all right. I haven't heard anything in the chat that says otherwise, so...
All this creation, all the principalities and powers and thrones and dominions and all that, he is before all things. He has preeminence, and by him all things consist. All things hold together. We talked about the structure of an atom. By all rights, it should just implode.
Right, because you got the negative particles on the outside, the electrons, the positive particles on the inside, the protons at the nucleus, and the idea that that ought not to stick together the way that it does.
Right.
All right, and of course, the scientists, you know, this is unknown molecular forces, according to the world. The grace of God is not figured into the world's equation as to how all of this works. But a read of God's Word teaches us, according to the Spirit, that all things work according to His plan and purpose, whether we acknowledge it or not.
This is all a nutshell. This is it. He's the head of the body, the church, who's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That in all things He might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all fullness dwell. All fullness.
All fullness.
And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself. How many things?
All things.
All things. That's a blowaway, one of those blowaway phrases.
Amen. And so many of the ones, the Apostle Paul was good with the Spirit bringing about through him these words that in the world they're called superlatives, things that are just bigger than you can imagine, and stringing them all together in a way that says, so big that in your own puny natural mind, you can't wrap yourself around just how big this God is.
Yeah. Or how big this work was. It was everything that was needed. Where did I leave? And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him I say, whether it be things in the earth or in heaven, and you were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight.
And that's a mouthful, but what it means is all of the wickedness that you're all about is forgiven.
Covered. We have reconciliation. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now, this is a continuing process, and availing yourself of this provision, this abundant provision, is about understanding that Jesus has preeminence, and he has it by righteousness. He deserves it.
Amen.
And he is his goodness and favor. We don't deserve that's grace. But he loved us when we were at the lowest point we ever could imagine being, He loved us enough to cover all that crap.
In spite of the fact that we sometimes stumble and fall even still.
So continuing in faith, grounded, means believing the gospel, believing His word, believing His testimony. And that when you understand His preeminence and your need.
Yeah, the two things seem to fit together properly.
Yeah.
The idea that the fall in the garden through Adam's transgression, and that certainly a deliverer had been promised even from the beginning in Genesis when God spoke of the seed of the woman, which was a prophecy, the first prophecy, in fact, of the coming of Jesus, and then ultimately Jesus being born and coming as a man, lowered Himself to provide the perfect sacrifice that would cover us as men and women, that covering be sufficient and would be legal and lawful according to everything that went before.
That's the attachment of His preeminence.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
The grounded and settled, if you continue grounded and settled in the faith, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you've heard. That's how you get unsettled.
If you're moved away.
Yeah. And believe Him and His word, and move, just decide to believe and choose to believe no matter what. The hope is unseen. In the natural, what we're seeing may not is light. The natural may be lying to you.
Maybe.
You think?
I think. Because the hope is there.
The hope is there.
We just have to grab onto it and agree with it. Really what it amounts to. And not being in disagreement with that which He has already set forth.
And the last point of interest in 23 is Paul was made a minister.
Yeah.
Lord got on and said, oh, you're
going to be a minister. And Paul didn't have much choice in.
No. Now rejoice in sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind in the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church. That's two references in the last few verses to what the church is. Church is His body. It's not a bride, it's His body.
And one of many places in the Word that it clearly identifies the church as the body and not the bride. For those out there that are under the illusion that the body of Christ and the bride of Christ can be or should be the same thing, it doesn't seem possible, and it isn't. And you look out here and you wonder why the church is tread underfoot so completely here in the United States. And a lot of it has to do with the idea that the church has become feminized, rather than walking in the preeminence and the glory and power of Jesus as His body. If we're out here seeking to be His bride, we've got a problem.
Brides won't live around and let the husband take care of them.
That's it. We, as His body, are not.
There's too many callings in here to set your affections. Where your affections are is something you choose. And I just jumped into chapter 3 with that reference. But whether or not you choose whether or not you're going to trust and believe His word, you choose whether or not you're going to have a hope in the gospel.
Yep. And those are all things that you do that are you don't wait to have these things done for you.
Preferring your brothers and sisters in the Lord is preferring. It's choosing. You have to assign your brains as a guy. This is not. We're not about ourselves right now. We're about other people choosing to please the Father.
Amen.
Where have I made a minister again? He's made a minister. to the dispensation of God which is in heaven, to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. And this is to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. A new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says.
That's right. A new life, a life more abundant, one that we could not receive in our own righteousness, but one that we receive when we walk according to his righteousness by faith. Yeah. Amen.
From hidden from the ages. Wow.
But now is made manifest, so that we can see it.
And that's what the gospel's about.
Amen.
Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, whereunto also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. You think?
In Paul, I do suppose. You know, he's got an awful lot of ink here in the New Testament. So, I mean, we read over there in Galatians, and I know we've been in Galatians in the Tuesday night Bible study fairly regularly last week, and I know I also, with my brother Carter, have been over Galatians recently, and the idea there that Paul says that worketh effectually in Peter, worketh what? Mightily. Right? In me. Mm-hmm. The idea that, and that in concert, there was nothing there in Jerusalem that was added unto the things that Paul brought to the table. So we know that he speaks with a level of authority that is, if nothing else, is clear.
There's no evidence that anything got snagged out of Jerusalem there unless John was one of them.
Yeah, amen.
Later on.
And of course, you have Peter at the end of his letter even acknowledging Paul, though there are indications in Galatians that there were some times that things were not
to peachy.
Not always warm and fuzzy between Peter and Paul.
Yeah. But, you know, even Peter comments on Paul's writings as scripture, as other scripture, comparing it to other scripture. So, Peter got adjusted.
Amen.
And by outcome, we understand that John got adjusted.
Yep.
What happened to the rest of them, don't know. But I thought we learned in chapter 2, so that's what I was...
Well, and I mean, but obviously, in order to kind of segue into chapter 2, so much of chapter 1 needed to be revisited.
Right.
So that chapter 2 would...
The preeminence and the understanding of exactly what we have been given here.
Yeah.
Is
I
take out of...
And that's the idea that we've been given something that is a treasure beyond what very often, I think, I mean, sadly, we don't always appreciate with the level that we ought to.
Right.
The goodness of God for giving us this, these blessings. And the center of the blessing, of course, is Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross for our sake, but the fellowship that we receive one with another.
Mm-hmm.
The counsel we receive from those in authority that the Lord uses for our sake.
Mm-hmm.
The idea, I know in my life, and I think in yours, the acknowledgement that God moved things around so that you could hear this gospel and receive the fullness of the blessing and be perfected or brought up and made complete in that blessing.
He shook the very foundations so that what could stand would stand.
That's right. I mean, in your life, I know in mine that's how it was. And I remember, you know, years ago, not everybody knows, but there are a lot of them that do, that are out there today, that Paul was one of the baptizers, the guys that baptized me and my wife Gail into the body. And I know that there was a lot of amazing, just amazing things happening that, for me, I mean, laid the groundwork for... A situation where I mean, shame on me if I don't remember from time to time how incredibly gracious God was to me in those days, and how he moved things, literally moved people and things, to come into a position where I could receive the goodness of his word and the goodness of his grace.
I will always remember the temperature of that water.
Yeah, it was cold up there, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It surprised me. It was liquid.
All right, well, let's move into chapter 2 then, having laid the groundwork here once again.
And again, he talks about the afflictions and conflictions and such. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's the end of that sentence.
In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And see, this is again a reference to a treasure that's greater than just words on paper.
This is part of what the impact of in Matthew 7, 24, he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And that knowing goes both ways. And you want to know him.
Yeah.
Because you want all the knowledge, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, gathered up to themselves ministers who tickle itching ears. I believe it talks about in Timothy.
Yeah, right. Itching ears. Teachers having itching ears, and in the same, always ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. The idea, right. And they like to hear themselves
talk. And it's beguiling when it's deceiving, when it's just stroking you, having that itch scratched. Although I'm absent in the body, in the flesh, yet I'm with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Interesting.
So as you received him, so walk ye in him. And that is, we receive by faith, we walk by faith. It's simple, right?
Easy.
No easy, but simple.
And, there are no strings attached. None of that junk that he covered. There are no strings attached to that. And, anybody comes accusing you of that, you just beat them off and, send them on their way. So walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving.
So you abound in the faith with thanksgiving. Okay, when you're walking around crying the blues and feeling sorry for yourself, you're not abounding in faith. And I think, I don't know about you, brother, but I spend way too much. Any time at all is too much time. Spending not abounding in faith with thanksgiving.
There's a real problem with people who are not adequately thankful. I mean, the first chapter set up something that we have really need to remember how thankful we ought to be for the free gift.
Amen. And it's that spirit of thanksgiving that actually it brings life to our faith. And it's the idea that faith, it says, faith worketh by love. And if we're thankful, that thankfulness is actually a form of love. Is it not? That thankfulness for the good things that God has done for us, is it not an acknowledgement and a form?
It's an acknowledgement, yes.
Of love for him, for the good that he's done?
That's correct. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. The
old religious structure of Pharisees and the rulers, the Jewish rulers,
was a philosophy of not coming close to it. Making everything has to be about what it looks like and not about what it really is.
Right.
And
we talked a little bit about that in service this morning, about how those things were actually dead things that had no life or spirit left in them at all by the time Jesus came on the scene as a man.
Right. And they're like everything else. Their end is destruction. Because it's about us learning, getting to know Him, and learning how to please Him. And this is not hidden. The structure is set up. We have His Word. There's no excuse.
Amen.
If we want, if our heart is to know Him, we can know Him.
Yep.
And to Paul, that was the great mystery hidden from the ages.
Right, the idea that all of a sudden in the age that he was born in, yeah, that mystery was opened up and was made available to any who would believe.
Right.
And in Paul's mind, and I mean, think about that, if you know
Paul, Abraham, that's all Hebrews says Abraham had going for him. He believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness.
That's right. And if you look at Abraham's walk, it was clear that was the center of what he had going for him. Because everything that you looked at naturally, he's 25 years kind of wandering around and being here and there, not really getting settled for some time. But he remained in that place of faith until he finally got to where God wanted him, and then God blessed him and brought forth the child of promise for all of our sakes.
The vain philosophy, vain deceit, the tradition of men, that's what religion is. Jesus is a relationship.
Right. We're not a religion.
I know what Scott likes, I know what he doesn't like. I can pick at him and I know how he's going to respond because I know him. It's the same thing with Jesus. Now, I don't want to know what his favorite color is. I want to know what his favorite food is. I want to know all these things. And because I want, that's a friend's relationship. And what did he say in John 17? I call you no more. Was it 17
right,
or 16?
16. I call you no more servants,
but friends.
Right. And ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you.
That's right. That's right. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So in Jesus, the man, and in Jesus, particularly, the resurrected Jesus,
mm-hmm,
everything that is in God and is of God is in Jesus. He's got it all.
And you're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power.
Complete. So you have everything that you need. Okay, and how many times, I mean, you know, it's a woeful confession, but how many times are we after all kinds of other things?
If I just had this chair.
Right.
I just had this paddle-ball game.
If I could only make this microphone work. And in spite of all of those things, we are complete in Him.
Yeah.
Amen. Not to lose sight of it can sometimes be a little bit of a battle, but that is what the battle is all about after all. Right? Because we labor in that faith. I mean, that's the struggle, is to remain in that faith when everything around us is directing us otherwise.
And you know what, the empty traditions of men and all that other stuff that the Jewish rulers had become in Jesus' day, empty and void of any of the Spirit of God. (Clears throat) it's the connection, the reconnection that Jesus provides is he is the head of all principality and power. And when you're walking under that principality and power, then you're in his line and his way of doing things. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me.
So you got to get in that.
And my way is the way.
My way is the way.
That's right.
Right? And of course, the world is some offended by the idea that there's this one way.
There's all kinds of ways to them.
Oh, okay.
And what Jesus said is if somebody goes over the fence, it's a thief and a robber.
Right.
And that you can come in through the straight gate.
Right. You can look through the fence and you can get some of those spiritual things, but you're never going to get in through the gate in the end.
Not by shimmying over the fence.
Not by shimmying over the fence or looking through the fence. Are you going to get that reward that your spirit is really seeking, which is that eternal life that we have only with him?
In whom also ye are... In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. That's a mouthful.
It's a mouthful, but I mean, there's a lot there that draws in from all of the other things we have from other scripture, right? We have buried with him in baptism, refers over there to
Romans 6.
Right, Romans 6, where we're baptized into the body, and we reckon ourselves from that point forward, we reckon ourselves dead to this world, but alive to him as a part of that body.
And the circumcision of Christ.
Right, inner man, right, removing that, all of the flesh. All right, which the circumcision, the actual circumcision, was just an allegory for or symbolic of the removing of that dead flesh or hardened heart that we get as a function of being out here in the world and growing up in the world. We don't learn what it is to have a real heart. So all through the Word, we find references to the Lord providing for us a new heart.
Buried with him in baptism, he also risen through the faith of the operation of God.
The faith of the operation of God.
That's right. Who have raised the operation, raised him from the dead. And in that we are also raised. Because we have faith in the operation of God.
Right. We believe that he was raised.
It's his operation to have him take your sins, cover your sins with his blood, and raise us from the dead in him as well.
Amen.
And you have confidence in that because that was the plan. That was God's plan. And you can be part of it. How neat is that? How sweet.
Right. I mean, it's the best deal you're ever going to get. And that's why, I mean, what we've talked about here has centered a lot on coming from a place, deciding to be thankful. Mm-hmm. Because anything else, all right, is calling God a liar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the end, isn't that really what it boils down to? If you see all these good things that he's
done, unrighteous.
Calling him unrighteous. Right, better, more accurate description. But the idea that he's provided all this for us is actually a very wondrous thing.
And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all I'm going to say it right once. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. How many?
All of them. We talked about that in service today.
Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. There's no charge.
Yep.
No charge.
No pending charges. That's right.
blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Blotting it out. He just erased it off. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a shew of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The accusers, those that want to get even with you.
Spoiled their fun.
It's taking all the teeth out.
That's right. I mean, and that's, and Jesus certainly did rob the accuser or take away from the accuser what he stole or what he got through the transgression of Adam in the garden. I mean, the idea that Jesus came and got it all back,
whereas he could have done it because he is who he is. He did it righteously.
That's great. Yeah. Amen. I mean, and that's what, I mean, the whole scripture points to God's righteous, the restoration of God for our sake, to his, our position with him being restored through his work, not through ours. And the whole scripture points to the way that God would do that and how righteous and perfect it would be.
And Paul called his ministry a ministry of reconciliation.
Right. That,
so it's reconciling us with God the Father.
Amen. So that we could once again have fellowship with him.
Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of a holiday, holy day, or of the new moon, or of Sabbath days, which are shadow things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and hands and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Now,
the increase of the body increases with the increase of God. And that sounds, that also sounds a little bit like over there in Ephesians, all right, in chapter 4, after verse 11, where it talks about how the church would operate, all right, until its fullness when it became the perfect man, the perfect church. And I mean, the idea that God is yet filling that up according to his plan and purpose.
You see so much of these, you see a lot of these operations out here, and they're increasing. You know, they're increasing in size and they're increasing in influence, but they're not increasing with the increase of God. The increase of God is the power of the Word.
Amen.
That the power of lives being turned around, foundations being shaken, nothing left but me and God. Nothing left but me and the provision that Jesus Christ has made. And you know, when you're there, oof.
Amen. I mean, there are times in the prayer closet, I mean, and we have access to that. And those, so we talk a lot about this. So we're a ministry that's in action, online, you know, in Bible studies, doing all these things. But all this stuff, each of us individually, also, if we're to have anything to bring to the table, it's because we've spent some time in the prayer closet learning about this stuff as the Lord would impart to us in accordance with his wisdom and mercy toward us individually, that we could share that with others. I mean, this is not an experience that you just read about somewhere or that you just hear about. It actually
ministers. You have to not be about tickling itch and ears. You can build around yourself, you know, the increase that is not of God. And it profits you nothing. Profits the people nothing.
Right. It grows and draws people in if they're flattered and if they feel good about it.
Or rather minister to the Spirit.
Right.
Connect. Have a ministry of reconciliation, something that has an inheritance at the other end.
Amen. That has a real inheritance.
A real inheritance.
Right. Of substance that, and this is the idea of God building that up in us.
Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men? And that parenthesis there, all these things, touch not, that you're not, you know, that you're not supposed to touch or taste or handle or whatnot.
Don't smoke, don't drink, don't do this, don't do that. All of the rules.
You've got big enough to handle all that.
All of that stuff.
All that stuff.
And deal with you on it in accordance with His purpose for
and
you.
His timing and everything.
That's right.
Which things, which are all to perish with the using.
And see, that's the thing that's important. All of that stuff that goes in, right? Jesus said, what goes into the into the belly comes out through the draft, right?
Right.
It's not important, right? Paul says in another place that the idea that it's about the work of the Holy Ghost and love and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost, not about meat. So we're, I think, in Romans 15 or 14.
Yeah.
All right, it's not about all of these outward things that you do or rules that you follow. That's, as we talked about back in
traditions of men.
That's the traditions of men, and that's religion. It has absolutely nothing to do with the relationship that the Lord seeks to build with you through the gospel.
Now, he may come to you and tell you you have to stop something, but that's between you and him.
Amen.
And you better.
Amen.
But that doesn't mean that's a doctrine for everybody. Which things, these things, have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship, and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. But that's just about looking.
How you look.
How you look.
Right.
And praise God, it's not about how I look.
Oh, amen. Bless.
We're faces for radio.
That's right. We're good radio personalities that way. We certainly aren't anything to look at on television. So thank God we've gone to an audio ministry.
I'll come to the end of that.
Amen. And it was a blessing. I know it blessed me. I hope those that were listening were able to hear at least some of it, laboring under audio conditions that I know have not been favorable. We've got did everything we could to get the mic working better, but this was the best we could do with what we had. So my hope is that people heard enough of it to be blessed by it. I know that Paul, in his fellowship with the Lord, has spent a lot of time in Colossians, and I know it's a book that blessed me abundantly right from the beginning.
It's got it all in it.
Right.
It's got it all.
And so my hope is we had an opportunity here to hear some of the things the Lord has shown Paul through this book, the ministry of the Apostle Paul to our brother Paul here. And of course, we look forward to getting together with him, and by then having a few more of these technical difficulties ironed out. I'm glad to have been here and to be able to join you. We'll leave you with a little bit of music, and thank you for putting up with you know what we were able to do here. We trust that the Lord will bless us in it, and it'll get better as time goes on.